Well, I have a few pictures to show you, and these pictures were from junior boys camp. Again, when I was in junior boys camp, but there are a couple people that I'm going to show you that aren't me. So it'll be some interesting photos. So when I was a junior boy, when I was right there, that's me right there. This very same week, there were some other people who were at junior boys camp. The first picture is, we got Pastor Dan Fields right there. And then we have Dan Cox, the program chairman, right there. So look how young these guys look back in their glory days. So back then, all right. Then we have another picture, too. We got a picture of our mean dean, Nate Gost, right there. One thing you need to know about him is he was the pots and pan dishroom supervisor. So he was in charge, so he's moved a long ways, so he's no longer in charge of pots and pans. He's a pastor at Urbandale Baptist Church. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? Give him a round of applause. That's pretty awesome. All right, so the giant that I'm going to show you tonight is, I just want to show you how big Yao Ming is. So you see Kobe, he's number 8 right there, Kobe Bryant, he is 6'6". To put that into perspective, that is 2 inches taller than me and 1 inch taller than my dad. He's 6'6", but look who he's standing next to. He's standing next to Shaquille O'Neal, who was 7'1". He weighed 325 pounds, and he wore size 23 for his shoe. So he had big feet. I wear size 13, so that's like 10 sizes bigger than mine. He was a giant. But look at who he's standing next to in this picture. Good old Yao Ming. So Yao Ming was a professional basketball player. He played for the Houston Rockets, and he was 7'6". So he makes Shaq look short, doesn't he? And Shaq makes Kobe look like a midget. So, I mean, these guys are just massive. So we're talking about facing our giants. And the giant that we're going to look at tonight is the giant of following my game plan or following my own plan. Now, before we get going, I need some help. I need 4 people to help me. All right, so right there in the ISU shirt, right there in the orange Under Armour shirt, we're going a little farther back, the twins shirt. And then guy with the hat on, right there, orange shirt, right there. All right, so you two are on a team. Twins over here, you're coming over with Hat Man. All right, so what I need you to do is what's going to happen is I'm going to actually, you need to put this blindfold on him, Hat Man, all right? So put that on there, and you got glasses on, so you get to be the lucky guy. So put this blindfold on him, make sure he can't see. All right, that's like a mask, not a blindfold. He can't even breathe. All right, there we go. We'll let you breathe this time. All right, he's breathing again. That's good. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to have a little race. So come guide your teammate down here. So you're over here. Bring him down over here. Tell him there's a step and stuff like that. We don't want to kill him. All right. So what you guys are going to have a little race. And these guys, they can't see at all, and they have to follow your plan. You're in charge. You're their eyes. You're showing them the way they need to go. So what you're going to do is you're going to race, and you're going to show them. You can't touch them. You got to say commands. And you got to get them around this section and right down to the front. You got to get your guy around this section and right down to the front. So they're trusting your plan, so you got to give them a good plan. So I'll let them touch you a little bit, but you got to say words, all right? All right, on your marks, get set, go. All right, when you go, all right, there you go. Hey, can you see? I think we have a cheater over there. All right. Follow his game plan, follow his plan. All right, come on. Man, he is trusting you. Man, Hat Man is from Texas. All right, good job. We have our victor. All right, finish up. You can take your blindfold off. Could you see or something? You just went for it. That was amazing. All right, good job. All right. So thank you very much for your help. Give me a five. Proud of you guys. Give them a round of applause. There you go. Thank you very much. All right. So I should have asked for their names, but Hat Man won. So as they were going around, they had to follow. They were completely blind. Well, maybe. They were supposed to be completely blind and having to trust their teammate, the one who could see everything that was going on, who had the perfect plan. And so as we look tonight at God's Word, we're going to see this as our giant killer. Our giant killer tonight is this. If we want to kill our giants, we want to be victorious over our giants, we must follow God's plan. We must follow God's plan. All right, write that in there. So tonight's giant killers, we got to follow God's plan, and here's why. We can only defeat our giants if we demonstrate our faith by following God's plan. Okay, so what is the giant killer tonight? All right, we should go back one slide so you can remind yourself of that. All right, so what's the giant killer tonight? Okay, we got to say it louder and all together. One, two, three. Okay, so we must demonstrate, we can only defeat our giants if we demonstrate faith by following God's plan. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the story of Joshua in the battle of Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. Okay, so I'm going to show you a couple pictures of what the Israelites were facing when they faced Jericho. So you see over here that red dot right there, that's Jericho. And the Israelites were over here encamped about ready to cross into the promised land. But you see, Jericho was a very strategic location because there was only one road really to get into the promised land. And it was Jericho was right at the face of it. And so Jericho needed to be overtaken, but it was an insane fortress. Let me show you a picture of what it looked like. This is an ancient tell. That's basically over time, civilizations build up on top of it, dirt comes over. And so this would have been where ancient Jericho stood, right there. And it's actually, in history, I was doing some research, listening to a video, and they said this is probably the oldest city in the world. The oldest city in the known world right here, Jericho. So Jericho was really important, but it was a masterful defense. You see, these hills right there, they're upwards of 40 feet high. So there's a natural defense that was, it's going to be hard to get in the plain below. And there's walls that were surrounding it. It was an impenetrable fortress. Let me show you a little bit about what it would have looked like. So they would have had one wall at the base of the hill. It would have been 12 to 15 feet high, so 46 feet from ground level right there. So that's just the base. And then there was another wall on the top that would have been nearly 20 to 26 feet high as well. So this is like an insane fortress. One dude I was reading said, if the master engineers would have been given the same materials to build Jericho that they did, they couldn't have built anything better. It was a nearly impenetrable fortress. Talk about a giant that you're going to face, right? Like, how could Israel defeat this fortress? I'll show you one more picture of this is what the ancient wall now looks like. There's a dude standing next to it. I can't remember who that is, but so that's the ancient wall of Jericho. Let's see what the next slide is. So there's a rendering of what potentially it could have looked like. You see that retaining wall at the base of the hill, then a secondary wall around the city. This is just a masterpiece of technology to develop a fortress, all right? how in the world is Israel going to defeat this? And I'm going to propose to you, they've defeated Jericho by following after God's plan. I'm going to need some help, though. I'm going to need some help. So I'm going to take one guy, blue shirt, hat on, come on up here. All right. Then let's see, Iowa State glasses. All right. Burgundy cutoff. Right there, right there. That's you. Blonde hair, blue shirt in the back, guy jumping up and down like a crazy man. And then, did anybody bring their swords? I need four people who brought their swords. Right there. Oh, you've already been up here. Come on up here. Right there. And right there. All right, right there. All right, so where are the four people with the swords? I need you down here. Okay, four people with the swords. You're standing right here, facing this way. And then, let's see, I need you two to come with me. So you go stand behind those two guys with the swords. So grab one each. There you go. All right, you're going to stand right behind there. Take a couple steps forward, dudes. All right, who are the other? Any of you guys have swords? Oh, I should have called people with swords. Anybody have swords? I'm sorry. Come see me after the service. I'll give you something. All right, I need people with swords. All right, you two right there. I'm sorry. I apologize. Come up with a sword. I had a brain fart. All right, but I do need two. Actually, I do need two people that don't have swords. Two more people that were up here. Right there. Elias, come on up, back up here. All right. All right, so you're marching in front of this right here. Okay, so we're going to tell this story, so you're going to be facing that way. Take a couple steps forward right here. Right there. All right, you're in the back. You guys right here. And then right here. Turn around. There you go. All right. So now, you stand down there too. You guys look good there. All right, I need you to come up here. Under Armour man, right there. All right, I need the commander to come out here because what's happened is Joshua, the two spies have gone back to Israel. So the two spies have gone back to Israel and said, hey, we can take over Jericho, the people are melting in fear. And so Joshua right here, he's looking around, he's standing by Jericho, and he looks out and he sees a guy standing with his sword in the air. And so he's like, whoa. And so he walks over there and he asked him, are you for us or for our enemies? And this guy,
he says,
I am the commander of the Lord's army. And immediately, Joshua gets on his hands and knees. And then he bows down and worships him. And he worships him. And the commander of the Lord's army says, take off your shoes, for where you are standing is holy ground. Sorry, bud. Take them off. So, oh my goodness, leave them on, put them back on. That stinks. All right, I'm just kidding. So he worships him and then what happens is the commander of the Lord's army gives Joshua instructions for what he needs to do to take over Jericho. And so it's kind of crazy instructions, so we'll get to that. Thank you, commander.
Is that real?
It's real, it's hard, it's very powerful. So if you want to touch it afterwards, maybe my dad will let you touch it. I don't know. Yep, that's my dad. All right, so Joshua then. So what happens is Joshua then takes the instruction that the commander has given him, and he goes and tells the people. So actually, you guys all get to participate in the skit too, because you are all the Israelites out there. And Joshua, he goes and he gets... I'm sorry, it would be too crazy if I would have had all the people he had. But Joshua goes, and he gets the armed men. Raise up your swords, armed men. And he gets seven priests. We only have four, sorry. But all seven of these priests have horns. Raise up your horns if you got the horns. And then he had the Ark of the Covenant, which signifies the presence of God in the center. So then what the commander of the Lord's army has told them, this is the battle plan. This is the plan that he proposed. We're going to walk around the city of Jericho. What? What in the world? Why would it? That's the weirdest battle plan in the history of the universe. But he follows it to a T. So we're going to go and we're going to march around Jericho. Joshua, you should lead them. Let's do this thing. So they're walking around Jericho. We'll say this is Jericho right over here. So we're walking around Jericho. Walking, walking, marching, marching, marching. So they march around Jericho, and you guys can go have a seat now. Great job. Give them a round of applause. But they just didn't just do it once. They marched around Jericho on the first day. They marched around Jericho on the second day. And oh, I forgot to tell you one thing. One of the commands that the commander of the Lord's army gave to the people of Israel is they were not supposed to shout, talk, or even utter a word. Could you imagine going throughout the whole junior boys camp without saying one word? You've already failed. All right, so they didn't speak one word until at the end of walking around, not one time, not two times, not three times, 4 days, nope. 5 days, 6 days. On the seventh day, they had to walk around Jericho seven times. And after the seventh time, they were finally given permission to speak. And when they heard the horn blowing, all right, I'm horrible. I need a professional shofar player. Oh, Jason, J-Train. He's been tooting his horn all day. Come on up here. J-Train, toot, toot. All right, so when he blows this long and hard, I need all of you guys to yell as loud as you can, okay? But not until then. So when I go like this, all right, we'll practice. Ready? One, two, three. Okay. All right.
Oh, wait. Let's get another one. It's louder. This will be better.
Great job. And guess what happened? Immediately, the walls of Jericho fell down flat. That's the craziest battle plan in history, but they followed it to a T. So there's some lessons I think that we can learn from Joshua in the Battle of Jericho as we talk about facing my giants. Some lessons that we want to learn from Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. So the first lesson that we need to apply to our lives is we need to follow God's plan when it doesn't make sense to us. I mean, put yourself in Israel's shoes. I mean, all right, we're going to walk around a city and that's going to help us conquer it? That makes zero sense. Like, if I were Israel, I'd be questioning, like, why are we doing this? This is stupid, right? This would be something that would be really like, oh, okay, it's a big thing. Like, should I go with my own way or should I just do what God says and trust Him no matter what? Even though I don't really understand, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, think about it. Actually, I'll give you an example. I've been to Rome, Italy, and there's the walls of the Vatican, and it's a false religion, I would say, and that's in the Vatican, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk around the walls of the Vatican, and I'm going to pray that the walls come tumbling down. So I did, and guess what? Nothing happened. So it's a 2-mile walk. I walked around the walls of the Vatican and praying, God, make these walls come tumbling down. It's not a like super effective plan unless God tells you to do it. I wouldn't recommend it. So like, you're not just going to walk around something and it's going to fall down. No, it's something that God tells you to do, and like, I don't understand it. But even when he tells you to do something you don't understand, you have to follow his plan. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Say that with me. Trust in the Lord with all your
heart.
And lean not, so don't place your weight, so lean in against something. Don't lean on your own understanding, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. This is what Israel was faced with. There's ways, am I going to trust God no matter what, even though it doesn't make sense, or am I going to do what I think would make sense? I'm going to get my battle gear ready so I can go fight Jericho. Think about in your life, are there things that you are called to do that don't necessarily make sense to you? Have you ever had something that doesn't really make sense to you? We told you, for instance, what Jesus tells us is, that we're not just supposed to love the people who are nice to us, right? We're told that we're to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Like, to me, that's like not natural for me to do. I don't naturally think, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to love the people who are being mean to me. Or maybe your parents have told you to do something. God in Ephesians 6, chapter 1, he says, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Are there times when your parents tell you to do something you don't really understand? And you have to, I'm faced with a choice. Am I going to trust the Lord, do what I got to obey my parents, or am I going to disobey, do my own thing, lean on my own understanding? Or maybe, so these are hard things you're called to do, but there's also hard stuff in your life that happens to you. I know there are some of you out there whose parents have been divorced. God, why in the world would you let this happen? I don't understand the purpose of your plan. There are junior boys where you've had to move from one state to another state. You're losing all your friends. You're like, why in the world do we have to do this, God? Or maybe there's people in your life who you love and care for, and they've died, and you say, God, I don't understand why you would allow this to happen. And you're faced with a choice. Are you going to trust God even though it doesn't make sense, or are you going to lean on your own understanding? There's one of my friends who always asks me, Tyler, why in the world are you going to France? This does not make any sense to me. I'm like, you have a good family. I mean, you had a good job working at Sailorville. All these things, you're going to go to a foreign country where they don't really care anything about God. You're going to have to learn a new language, learn a new culture. Tyler, this just doesn't make sense to me. Why are you going to do this? And the ultimate answer is, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm a little scared about it, but I choose to, all right, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to follow God's plan, even though sometimes it might not always make sense to me. And junior boys, this is what you need to do. There are things that are going to happen in your life where you don't understand the purpose of God's plan, but you're faced with a choice. Am I going to lean on my own understanding, or am I going to trust in God with all my That's right. All right, so not only are we to follow God's plan when it doesn't make sense to us, we're also to follow God's plan in the details. We're supposed to follow God's plan in the details. I mean, check this out in Joshua chapter 6, verse 8 through 11. Listen to it as I read, and you can write down those two blanks. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horn before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. So he kind of messed that up in the story. Sorry. And then verse 10. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout, and then you shall shout." So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle about the city. I mean, think about all the details that went into this. I mean, they had to line up a specific order. They had to be blowing trumpets. They had to be not talking. Like, all these details, and Israel followed them to a T. Even in the little things, they followed God's plan. When you think about your life, are there some things that are just like, God won't care that much if I just do this? It's only like, I'm just like cursing in my mind. I'm not actually saying them out loud like my friends do. It's only a little white lie. It's just a little thing. I knew the answer. I just wanted to look. I just wanted to make sure. So I looked at my neighbor's, my classmate's test because I wanted to make sure I got it right. I mean, these are little things, little sins that we might say, oh, they're not that big of a deal. But God, He wants us to follow His plan even in the little details of our life. So, junior boys, I want to challenge you as you think about your life. It's important to follow God's plan, not just in the big things, but also in the little things, in the details. Now, the third point, the third lesson that we can learn from Joshua, from following God's battle plan, is this, that we must follow God's battle plan with endurance. Say endurance.
Endurance.
Say it one more time.
Endurance.
All right. Listen to Joshua chapter 6, 14, verses 14 and 15. It says this, "And on the second day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did so for 6 days." So they did this for 6 days. Can you imagine, like, the people of Jericho are like, loser. I mean, like, maybe I like to picture it like in the VeggieTales version, they're throwing tomatoes at them, you know. So, I mean, they're like, why are these guys doing this? They're marching around their city. They think they're going to overtake us. I mean, this makes zero sense. Yeah, that's right. So, but Israel, they kept following God's plan. They did it for 6 days, and on the seventh day, they marched around the city 7 times on the seventh day. I mean, I can imagine that maybe be a little tiring and thinking, is this anything really going to happen? But they chose, Israel chose, to follow God's plan with endurance. They wanted to persevere, and they kept following God's plan. Sometimes it's hard for me when I'm like, man, I've been doing the right thing for a long time, and maybe, think about it this way, maybe there's someone that's just a real jerk, and you've been kind to him, you've been trying to do the little things, following God in the details, and you're just like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, they're getting on my nerves. Maybe counselors, you can relate to that a little bit. Maybe there's a camper that's on your nerve right now, and you're just like, ugh. And you have to be in showing enduring love towards your camper. Maybe campers, there's rules that are like, I don't know why we have to do this. I've been doing this so long. We have to be quiet at night. I just want to talk. Sometimes you have to follow with God's plan with endurance. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." So in Hebrews 11, it's called the Great Hall of Faith. There's stories of men who have followed after God when it didn't make sense. They followed after God in the details, and they followed God with endurance. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. It's hard to run a race if you have weights on, isn't it? So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. And how do we do this? By looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, He did what? He endured the cross, and despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So, young man, as you think about following God's plan with endurance, you need to look. How can you do this? You look to the one who did it perfectly. You look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He lived, followed God's plan perfectly to a T. So how are we supposed to do all these things? It's hard. The ultimate way, the only way we can follow God's plan in, when it doesn't make sense to us, the only way we can follow God's plan in the details, the only way we can follow his plan with endurance is if we follow his plan by faith. Now, I purposely skipped over a verse in Joshua 6:2. Joshua 6:2 says this. This is the commander of the Lord's army talking to Joshua, and he says this: "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor." So the commander of the Lord's army had looked Joshua right in the eye and said, "Trust me, I got this. If you'll be willing to follow my plan, even though it might not make sense, even though there's a lot of details, it's going to take some endurance, but if you follow me, if you place your faith, your trust in me, the walls are going to come crashing down." Think back with me to the very beginning when those boys tied their blindfold on them, right? And there was no way for them to, well, maybe there was a way, but there shouldn't have been a way for them to navigate so easily around here unless there was someone that was helping them, that could see the big picture, that could see everything that was going to happen. Their vision was restricted to right in front of their face, the blindfold. They couldn't see what was going to happen. And just like the guy who couldn't see anything because of the blindfold, he couldn't get to the end. He had to trust his partner to get in there. He's placing his faith in his partner. And we think about following God's plan. Sometimes we don't see all the details. We don't know what's going to happen, but we trust the one who sees the big picture, who sees everything that is going on. There's no way we can follow God's plan when it doesn't make sense. There's no way we can follow God's plan in the details. There's no way we can follow God's plan with endurance unless we place our faith in God. We trust him that he's got this, that he's got the city of Jericho, that the walls are going to come tumbling down. So if we want to, so say these with me. So say you say the yellow with, you say the yellow, I'll say the green. When it doesn't, oh, so I can't even read. So when I, just kidding, I'm just going to read it to you. So we must follow God's battle plan when it doesn't make sense to us. We must follow God's battle plan in the details. We must follow God's battle plan with endurance, and we must follow God's battle plan by faith. There's no way that we can keep those first three unless the last one is true in your life. So I have one final question I want to close with. And that's this question. Have you followed God's game plan for salvation? Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this: "We all like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him," talking about Jesus, "the iniquity or sin of us all." So when you think about what those guys were doing, they were straying a little bit. They were getting off target. They were getting off the path, and that's what we all do all the time when we sin. However, there was someone, his name is Jesus, who followed God's plan perfectly. He didn't get off target. He went and he followed the plan and he got to the goal without ever messing up. He followed it to perfection, something that me and you we could never do. And so because of this, it qualified him to be the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. And so just like the walls of Jericho came tumbling down because of the faith of the Israelites, their faith and their trust in God that he would keep his promise, the walls of your sin that are surrounding you will come crashing down when you place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. So, junior boy, I want to ask you, have you ever done that? Have you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? We talked a lot about it last night. The only way you can have God's presence in your life is if you follow God's, if you receive God's presence, it's only through faith. And so, junior boy, have you ever done that? Have you ever called out to him and placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? And if you've never done that, I would encourage you to do so tonight.